the more fun ones are the people that shifted roles or like fell into this world from another. Myself from Make-A-Wish, I was like, how did that leap happen? And then there was a hairstylist who's now VP of development at a development firm here. And then a marketing consultant who is now one of the foremost brokers in Midtown. And so like, it's just kind of fun to see how what we thought at the time was like really small, but to see them go on and stay in this space and impact the community in the ways they have is really cool.
Welcome to the Community Center for Marengo Urbanism, a show about bringing people together, which sometimes means professionals from across disciplines. I'm Kyler. I'll be your host for today. I'm an architect and design communicator based out of Oklahoma City. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest who will be helping us to answer the question, how can we make an impact on the built environment just by bringing people together? Michelle Macbeth Lubbers, welcome to the show. Could you start us off by telling us a bit about who you are and sharing some of your background?
Of course. Thanks, Kyler. What an introduction. My name's Michelle. I am the executive director of an organization here locally called the Urban Land Institute, ULI, Oklahoma.
Excellent. So I'm curious about how you actually ended up in that role with the ULI. And I think telling that story could be an interesting starting point here.
I like how you call it the ULI because I've heard everything under the sun. We've been called the Urban League. I've been called ULI. That's a fun one. So ULI, Oklahoma. It's a long kind of random path, unconventional path here. I do not have any background in commercial real estate, but let's back up. Start at the beginning. I am not even from Oklahoma. So I'm not from Oklahoma City. I grew up in Missouri, grew up in a pretty traditional suburban community. In fact, I should probably be kicked off this podcast because I lived about a quarter of a mile from my high school and I still drove. So I was not an urbanist back then by any stretch of the imagination there, but went off to college. I got my undergrad degree from there. I took a gap year and traveled a little bit, got to see some of the world, which I think will come into the picture later on. But how I got to ULI specifically, I landed back in Oklahoma City in 2011. So I had a few years post-college where I lived in DC. I started my career in nonprofit, truly. So always been in that like arm, if you will. But when I moved back to Oklahoma City, or I guess moved to Oklahoma City in 2011, I didn't have any friends. Really, quite honestly, I was a young professional and kind of the first real job of my career. And that was the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So totally different type of philanthropy. But yeah, so I didn't have any friends. And I heard about, I don't know if you remember like the TED Talks that traveled, you know, nationally across different college campuses and stuff. So they had a TED Talk. I went down there, I took the day off because I'd always been interested in those type of events. And there was a guy there named Jason Roberts who spoke about Better Block. And it's a project down in Dallas. And I honestly, to this day, I still don't know how I got on some sort of email list, but I got involved with the initial Better Block kind of volunteer effort in Oklahoma City in 2013. And so little did I know at that time that it was being hosted by ULI Oklahoma. It was just under kind of a different name. So after that, made some friends. I think that's a big part of my story why I'm still here. This network is quite incredible. But in 2017, the job opened up at ULI and had the opportunity to move to this position. I was a member at the time just because I enjoyed learning about urban development and placemaking and what makes good cities. And they said, come on board. No formal training. Oh, hi. What's your kitty's name?
We have a guest. This is Marigold.
I love it. I feel like I've met Marigold on other podcasts that I've watched of yours as well. It's always a special guest. So yeah, a couple stops along the way. I was living in DC before I moved back to Oklahoma City. So I think that plays a lot into where I learned to fall in love with good built environment places and spaces. But yeah, kind of a weird journey here. But now I've been here about 8 years. I'm the only staffer. So this is my office. Welcome. We do a lot with our member-led committees. And I try to keep the ship steering at least semi-straight, if not, of course, some days. So
yeah, I think that my impression is that every time I go to an event, you're there keeping everything like running, and it usually goes great. So
thank you.
I'm curious to hear more broadly, what even is the Urban Land Institute?
Yes, we might have started there. That might have been a better place than my random journey to get here. So the Urban Land Institute as a whole, it's an international organization. It was founded in 1936. And essentially how I describe it to folks who are unfamiliar is that it's a membership association for folks that are involved with commercial real estate, city planning, all the various disciplines that touch the development projects and process. So we have about 420-ish, fluctuates month to month, but about 420 members statewide here at our local district council. And the point of all of those people and all of those different disciplines getting together is to talk about best practices in development and learning and growing with each other. We're kind of talking about what is good land use? How do we be good stewards of our homes and our places? We've got members that are architects. We've got members that are engineers, lawyers, lenders, pretty much anybody across all the disciplines that would be involved. Why I was involved initially is just because I was kind of a city geek. So I enjoyed learning about new projects and going to site tours and whatnot. And so I always encourage people join or get involved if you're interested. I don't want anyone to be intimidated by it because, I come every event as a learner, and all of our members do, because that's the whole point is to connect the dots across the disciplines.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always fun to see who comes to these events, because it's like some people are just primarily there because they're a cyclist, or they're primarily there because they're just interested in what's happening. And it's always interesting to talk to the engineer who's like, what's the point of urbanism? Like, we want to have a wider right of way so we can fit more utilities under it.
We preach to the choir often, but it's also helpful to get every perspective, there. Yeah, I like to say kind of the fill in the blank geek, because I was a city geek, who joined, but there's the transit geeks, and the bike geeks and all the different kind of, housing, all of that stuff. We welcome everybody.
Yeah. And so I'm curious to hear your take on exactly how it kind of operates in Oklahoma and how that may even be different from other places, or maybe not.
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's about 52 district councils across our network. We were founded in about 2007, so relatively young organization as a whole, even though the international organization has been around a lot longer. We are a statewide organization. Not all of the district councils are that. So we have about 3/4 of our membership in Oklahoma City, so about 300 people, and then about 100 over in Tulsa. And not every council is like that. So there's a lot of states like Ohio that have 3 different district councils for their big cities and whatnot. So structurally, it all kind of depends across the network. But overall, we pride ourselves in being a member-led organization. And I think you've seen that because you just joined a committee. Which committee did you join? Tell your listeners.
Yeah, I'm on the Young Leaders Committee, I believe is what it's called. And we're planning some cool mentorship events, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So all the district councils are going to be working essentially hand in hand with their members to develop content. So at any given time, I have about 5 or 6 committees that are working on various things. And because I'm a solo staffer, like, it truly is the members that brainstorm the content and do the outreach for the speakers and kind of help me with logistics for everything. I quite honestly couldn't do this job without all of our committees. So we do pride ourselves kind of in that aspect of it. It's very, very hands-on, because our approach is that, we want to learn directly from each other. So in terms of like how we operate, I think that it changes through the years. That's one really neat thing about the work that we do here, is because it's member-led, like, depending on who's leading the programs committee at that time or our district council chair, they might have a passion project or they might want to lean into something specifically. So kind of the focal points can change in some ways. Real estate is local, you know, we all know that. So I think things that we're focusing on here in Oklahoma City are different than Tulsa. There's a lot of overlap, but, you know, folks on the coasts are dealing with resiliency in terms of, you know, climate change, whereas here locally, we're focused on how to increase infill residential housing. So there's a lot of different ways that it can be tailored depending on the location, which is kind of fun because for me, having my first role, I was at Make-A-Wish when I was a wish coordinator. I'm working with different families every single month and creating these experiences for kids that were very tailored. And so every day was different in that job. Every day is very different in this job. So it keeps you on my toes and it's a challenge. And I also just enjoy like working with the various groups of people that I get to work with. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, what are some of your favorite ULI activities that you've gotten to be a part of? You already mentioned Better Block. So, I mean, if you want to start there.
I think is that how we met? Kind of?
I was involved with the...
The pop-up park.
The pop-up park, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it's the same a little bit in my mind. Yeah, for those that aren't familiar with Better Block, it's a tactical urbanism kind of project approach to making a place more walkable, street trees, pop-up retail, basically a lighter, quicker, cheaper approach to, you know, placemaking, if you will. So back in 2013, we did several projects across several years, and that's really how I got involved with ULI and kind of met a lot of this network. But I do think like kind of the hands-on projects are my most favorite. And so Kyler and I met doing a pop-up park. Do you want to explain it a little bit?
Yeah. So recently we did in the Stockyard City Main Street in Oklahoma City, there's sort of an old Western style Main Street area over near the Stockyards. And it's kind of a weird part of town, in my opinion. There's these cool like saloons and steakhouses and things. And then you get like right outside of there and it's just dead. And there's, you know, there's some services over there for like homeless people, which are great. They're providing some really cool services there. But at the same time, it's just the area feels a little off in a lot of ways. But we kind of pulled together for their Stockyard Stampede event that they do annually. Yeah. And so we took the opportunity to ask one of the landowners who owns a parking lot there on the main street if we could basically transform it into a little plaza for the day. And with that, tangentially, somebody said, oh, hey, we should do a crosswalk. And that was a fun idea as well. That was something that the Stockyard City people were like, well, we're not going to give you permission to do the crosswalk. And ULI was a little like, well, that's not part of the pop-up park. And I was like, I'll take leadership of getting this crosswalk painted.
We took some liberties there, I think, potentially. There's a whole other podcast on that, though.
Yeah, I made a video for the channel about that, and I think it turned out really cool. So we
basically worked together to create a temporary park and a parking lot and made some furniture and all of that.
Using those big wood spools as tables, we were trying to make it like as Western themed as possible with the, you know, the lightweight pop-up, you know, hay bales, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think people liked it. I don't know that people necessarily realized that it was its own thing separate from the festival, but it doesn't necessarily matter if people are enjoying the space.
Right.
I think there's something about these kinds of like tactical urbanist pop-up things that just really get people excited, especially like the people who work on making them happen.
Well, and it was fun too because our young leaders basically organized it. So, you know, we met for probably close to 2 months to divide up into committees for art and streetscape and crosswalk and all of the things, furniture. And so each week we would adjust our site plan and kind of make changes in real time as folks were figuring out projects worked or they didn't work. But it's just a lot of fun to pull that together. And, you know, it kind of was a full circle moment a little bit for me because that was reminiscent of my time on Better Blocks. But I mean, other things that have been fun about this job, we've had a chance to work with some really phenomenal people. And so like, while I consider myself kind of a layperson, you know, in this world, I do feel like I've learned from some really cool people. We brought in Incremental Development Alliance early when I first started and kind of learning about their approach to neighborhood development. And that's been excellent. We've had a chance to meet with Dan Paralek, with kind of the missing middle approach to housing development at one of our book clubs. We've hosted Strong Towns and folks from CNU, Congress for New Urbanism. And so like, I do think it's just been fun to kind of immerse myself in this world almost as an outsider in some ways. Although try not to discount myself because, you know, 8 years in, I do know probably more than I give myself credit for, but it's just been fun to kind of learn in that way. And also just the opportunities at ULI as a member or staff to travel and learn from other cities. So we have an annual spring and fall meeting and they rotate cities. So this fall will be in San Francisco. Next spring will be in Nashville. I think I counted up at one point in time, I got to visit like 20 plus cities and, you know, see what's working, what's not working. What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? And then we just got back about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago from Atlanta. So locally, we about every 2 years organize what we call a peer city trip. And so it's the same thing, just taking 40 of our local members to a city and meeting with folks and going on site tours and hearing about their projects and their development and challenges in a different community that, you know, might apply here.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to eventually getting to go on one of those trips because I think anytime I've traveled with somebody who's knowledgeable about the place that I'm going to and I can actually get, you know, a tour that's they're pointing out like, hey, look at this thing. And it's like, oh, like I wouldn't have noticed that on my own.
So I always laugh. So shout out to my dear husband who subscribes, by the way. He loves listening. When I travel with him or the family, I always feel like I need to shut up and stop talking about buildings and stop talking about, oh, this is good urban form or XYZ, because it's like, it gets obnoxious after a while. But like on these type of trips, you're with the people that you get it and who are seeing the same things and commenting on similar aspects of it. So it's a lot of fun.
I think I learned when I studied abroad with a bunch of architecture students that I really enjoy traveling and pointing at like everybody else who sees us is probably like, why are they staring at the ceiling? What are they doing?
You just know you're gonna have people who just peel away and they're like looking at something specific and taking notes or pictures or, you know, it's just normal.
Yeah. So I'll say I'm looking forward to doing that eventually and participating in those.
Well, if you have ideas for our next city, we're currently accepting kind of new ideas. It started as like a bus trip. So we visited kind of regional sister cities. We graduated a few years back to a flight. And I don't know if we'll go back to a bus ever because, you know, we could just get to more places. But we've been everywhere from San Antonio to Kansas City, Austin, Northwest Arkansas, Denver, Minneapolis, Atlanta. I know I'm missing a few. Someone will chime in. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, that's awesome. So what are some of the impacts that you've seen ULI have or the members have on, you know, the city, on each other, that kind of thing?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's hard to measure impacts at our organization because a lot of what we're doing is the relational aspect, you know, the convening of people. It's hard to pinpoint the projects that have resulted because of ULI and meeting at ULI or, you know, the people that have gone on to work together. But I do think that's our strength, is bringing different folks to the room. And I do think our claim to fame actually circles back to the Kansas City, Pure City trip. Three different folks met each other on the back of a bus and they started a firm. So I'll drop the name here. Pivot started because they met through ULI. And, you know, Tower Theater was renovated and restored through their firm, and Sunshine Cleaners and all the amazing projects that they're working on today. So I do think it's you know, hard to pinpoint that, but it is a strength of our organization. And like, I think it's potentially one of my strengths as well, is I do enjoy connecting people and resources. You know, even at Make-A-Wish during my time there, though, I really thrive on that aspect of it. A couple other impacts though, like I do think the topic of good urbanism and just bringing that knowledge to our community is fun to watch through the years, even like how things have grown and changed. Recently, I saw on social media that there's a YIMBY group that is self-organized. So yes, in my backyard. So folks that are proponents or advocates for housing and hopefully countering the NIMBYs that we all know are in our community. And that's a bit that is important to me because ULA doesn't have an advocacy arm. We are not allowed, you know, through our charter to advocate or to lobby. So it's cool when I see folks in the community doing that for themselves and kind of jumping in. I do think too, we've brought some hard topics to light. You know, we've covered everything from sustainability in the built environment, which is hard to do, like to make those decisions, especially in an oil and gas state. We hosted a food security symposium a few years back to kind of tackle that topic in the Northeast community and convening local organizations. And this was prior to when the market was built and the full service grocery. So I do think having those type of impacts in the community are important. And because it's in the name, we host an annual impact awards. There's a lot of different awards programs out there for architecture or construction or whatever, but we get to honor people that are making really hard decisions and building good projects that are good built form and that impact their community in positive ways. And so, you know, the small trophy, they're behind me. Can you see them? Yeah, green trophy. It's not much, you know, but every year we get to get together with our community and celebrate those folks, those developers who have done good work here.
Yeah. I think the impact on me personally, I can say, has this. Been.
Yeah, turn the mic.
Yeah, getting to go and just tour new developments in the city and see how things are developing and what's happening. And just, you know, getting to talk to the people who created these places and ask them questions and all these things. I think it's really fascinating to just show up to these events and have conversations with these people who have more power to shape the built environment than you or I at this point.
Sure, but sure.
To get to maybe even put a bug in their ear of like, well, have you considered this? Or, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's...
Yeah. I do think like Oklahoma City in general, and probably Tulsa too, just the nature of the size of the community. Like, I do think we're like an approachable place. So it's probably easy to make connections in your industry if you need to. But I do think there's like something here that if you say you're with ULI, like people are willing to share and willing to help out. And, you know, in that way, I do think the learning aspect, folks are really open there.
And yeah. I think I really like that you mentioned that you like being a connector, because I think I've thought a lot about what about urbanism is interesting to me and what about architecture, like what is the most interesting aspect of all of these things. And for me, it is the connection. So that's why I'm interested in public transit, because it connects places. That's why I'm interested in urban design, because if as an architect, I can build a bit like the coolest building ever, but if it's just in a parking lot, who cares? You know, like it's not a part of something greater. So the connecting aspect is important to me as well. So
yeah. I think of the Jane Jacobs, like the ballet on the street, like, because the whole point is to mix and mingle the people, you know, because that's what makes cities great, the metropolis and the mix of all types of folks. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think truly, I think is also why I've gotten to this point where I've started this podcast as well, is because I've realized that the community aspect of all these things and the connections between people specifically is like, it's really important in order to like make a stronger place. Because without that, what's the point?
You know, so on LinkedIn a couple days ago, have you had Austin Tunnell on here yet with Building Culture?
I need to. I had his lead urban designer on.
Okay.
A couple episodes ago.
No. Okay. So he had a good post on there. It was long, but the takeaway that I had was he kind of wanted to transition from the built environment to the human habitat. Cause like when we center it on the people, that's really the work that we're doing. And I was like, oh man, like ULI feels really cold when you think about it that way. Cause we're all about shaping the future of the built environment for transformative impact. And I'm like, okay, maybe we just like sub out human habitat and like there's something there. But yeah, like kind of those connecting points and kind of the personalization of it is important because maximizing human potential and flourishing and both our neighborhoods, our districts, like I think Oklahoma City itself is just like such a special place. You know, I don't know what the magic is here. The 30th anniversary of the bombing, we did a lot of reflection on that. And I do think there's something there, but I remember back when I first started here and I don't remember who gave me this. I want to say it was like at a charrette of some sort. I don't actually know, but on my refrigerator, I have a bookmark. I should have brought it. I don't know who said it, but the quote is places aren't places without people. You know, so I think to your point, like we can build buildings all we want, but we have to remember why we're doing this.
Yeah, for sure. Every time I show up to an event, I have another interesting conversation with somebody who's, you know, not necessarily an architect. It could be a city planner. It could be a developer. It could be a finance person. And every time I'm like, this is great. Like we're making connections. We're all sharing the city together. So like, let's get together and like talk about these things and
yeah,
make stuff happen.
I will say like over the years, it's kind of been fun to see kind of how that original Better Block crew has kind of like grown and changed and truly like shaped our city. Some of those folks, one was like a grad student back then and now is working for Main Street America, which is so cool, you know, national organization. Another had just returned to Oklahoma City from Australia and has since had a long career at the Alliance for Economic Development. So like, you know, what is that? Almost 10 plus years of really working on some awesome projects. The plaza director now is at downtown Oklahoma City, so still very much in that space. The more fun ones are the people that shifted roles or like fell into this world from another. Myself from Make-A-Wish, so I was like, how did that leap happen? And then there was a hairstylist who's now VP of development at a development firm here. And then a marketing consultant who is now kind of one of the foremost brokers in Midtown. And so like, it's just kind of fun to see how what we thought at the time was like really small and just like this side project of a bunch of kids because, you know, we thought we're being fun to paint reverse angle parking. And to be fair, there was something innovative there, you know, but to see them go on and stay in this space and impact the community and the ways they have is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if somebody is interested in getting involved, where do they start? How do they do it?
Yeah, so you can pretty easily find me. I'm the only staff person, but oklahoma@uli.org. as my email, or you can find us online and all social platforms for ULI Oklahoma. I think in general, if you're hearing this podcast, you're probably already in. You're the choir, so I don't need to recommend many steps to you. But for anyone else listening, an easy place to start and how I kind of initially got connected. The book Happy City is one of the first book clubs that we hosted for ULI when I came on staff. And it's just a really tangible, easy read talking about what makes places great.
Nice. Well, Michelle, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, talking about ULI. I look forward to seeing you here in next week or two at an event.
Love it. Thanks, Kyler.
Thank you.
Hey, it's me, Kyler. If you enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to give the show a like, rating, subscription, or whatever kind of nice feedback you can provide on whatever platform you're watching or listening from. If you'd like to join our community to stay up to date or to discuss anything you heard in today's show, consider joining the Aringo Urbanism Discord server. And finally, if you'd like to support the work of Aringo Urbanism directly, you can do so over on Patreon. Until next time.